We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane, and today we've got a lot to talk about to start a new week. Happy Monday, everybody. We need to get into the Lakers, their coaching search, some coaching extensions going out around the NBA. Teams trying to play keep away from the Lakers. Appears that's what's happening. We're going to get into what's going on there. But I'll also talk about Anthony Davis's rising power in the organization, both on and off the court, what that can mean for this summer, for the roster build, as well as the coaching search. And we'll get into the mailbag. So lots to talk about on this fine Monday. Speaking of Monday, today we will have our first off-season live show. Remember, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 o'clock Pacific time, we go live on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/Lakers Nation. Come hang out with us. Going to be a good time. We'll take your questions and comments. And then Friday afternoons, we will also do a live show. I'm going to aim for 2 o'clock Pacific time. We'll do our fun Friday show to kick off the weekend. So that is our live show schedule for the offseason. That may be adjusted a bit once we get into the thick of things in June, when we're getting into the draft, we're getting into free agency, we're getting into trade season, all that kind of stuff. So just be aware that may shift a little bit as needed. But for right now, that's going to be the live show schedule moving forward. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of other things that are going to be out on the YouTube channel. Last thing I've got before we dive into the topics, if you guys wouldn't mind, go over to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. It's a great way to help out the show. Again, Apple Podcasts takes you like 10 seconds to do. 5-star rating, write a sentence in there about how you like the show, and we move. So thank you guys. We certainly would appreciate that. All right, let's get into it. News broke this morning, Monday morning, Jason Kidd getting an extension with the Dallas Mavericks. Apparently, all you have to do in order to get an extension or be rumored to get an extension is be linked to the Los Angeles Lakers. Hell, I'd like to put out there that the Lakers are interested in hiring me to be their next head coach. Apparently, that's all you need to get it, to get a payday right now. So let's go. Quick, somebody write the check. Jason Kidd gets a contract extension with the Dallas Mavericks as soon as his name appeared in the Lakers coaching search, or as a person of interest for the Lakers. Instant contract extension. So Jason Kidd obviously will not be coaching the Los Angeles Lakers. Ty Lue also rumored. As soon as it got leaked that the Lakers were interested in Ty Lue, the Clippers went, oh, no. We really want him. We really want him. We're going to keep him around. We want to give him a contract extension. Now, we talked about it over the weekend. Ty Lue did say that he wants to stay with the Clippers, that he wants an extension with the Clippers. Sounds like that's where he wants to be. And of course, that's his choice. It wouldn't shock me if Ty Lue still has some, you know, certain feelings about the Lakers after the way their original contract negotiation back in 2019 went, when Frank Vogel ultimately became the Lakers head coach after Vogel was going to become an assistant coach under Ty Lue. And then the Lakers just fumbled on the 1-yard line and wouldn't pay up to give Ty Lue a fourth year on his contract, instead wanting to tie his contract to LeBron, which, hindsight being 2020, wouldn't have mattered. It's not like LeBron left after 3 years anyway. It's crazy. But regardless, the Lakers had their chance to sign Ty Lue years ago. They fumbled, and now it looks like the Clippers are not interested in letting him go. I don't think the Clippers will even let the Lakers talk to him, even though he is still a guy that the Clippers or the Lakers will be interested in. The Clippers still have him under contract for a year. Ty Lue is going to push for an extension. Coaches don't like coaching on a 1-year deal. That's not a good situation for them. You don't want to be a lame duck coach. So Ty Lue is going to push for an extension. It sounds like the Clippers are interested in giving him that extension as soon as it was known that the Lakers were interested in Ty Lue. Anyway, you know, my dog does the same thing. My dogs, if one of them can be playing with the toy for an hour, he walks away from it. He's no longer interested in that toy. But if the other dog comes along and shows interest in it, oh boy, no. That is his toy. He cannot let that go. And suddenly he wants that toy all over again. That's kind of what's going on here with the Clippers. As soon as the Lakers showed interest, it was nope. We're definitely extending this guy. Teams are playing keep away from the Lakers. The Lakers are the big threat out there right now. And Phoenix maybe as well at some point. But for right now, the Lakers are the big threat out there. They're going to be linked to a lot of coaches, and teams may be looking around saying, well, who's the alternative out there on the market that we can turn to? Because it's the same list the Lakers will be looking at. Should the Clippers lose Ty Lue, are they going to find somebody better? Should the Mavs lose Jason Kidd, are we going to find somebody better? Now, if you ask Mavs fans earlier in the season, the answer would be yes, we can find somebody better than Jason Kidd. But now they moved on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. Maybe that stance has softened a bit. But regardless, Jason Kidd gets an extension with the Mavs. Here are the Lakers candidates at this point, according to Shams. These are like the big five, the five main candidates. And again, some of them are more realistic than others. It's J.J. Redick, it's Charles Lee, Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, and Ty Lue. Now, again, the Clippers, until they ink an extension with him, until pen gets put to paper, Ty Lue is going to be considered an option for the Lakers. If they don't sign an extension, I'd have to imagine that if you're the Lakers, let's put it this way, folks. If you're the Lakers and Ty Lue, suddenly everything blows up between the Clippers and Ty Lue, Steve Ballmer lowballs the extension offer, which I would be shocked if he did, because let's be honest, all Steve Ballmer has to do is go search his couch cushions and he's going to find enough money to pay Ty Lue whatever the hell he wants. That's the kind of ridiculous FU kind of money Steve Ballmer has. But if somehow, some way, things fall apart between the Clippers and Ty Lue, if the Lakers didn't immediately sign him, that would not bode well for the relationship between the Lakers and LeBron James. If the Lakers tripped over their own 2 feet and fell flat on their faces the first time around when they tried to sign Ty Lue. And remember, Ty Lue, this is LeBron's guy, right? This is LeBron's guy. If they were to not hire him, that would not look great. That would not look great for the Lakers or as an organization if they were to once again stumble and fall in their efforts to hire Ty Lue. But I also think it's very likely that Lue will not be available, given that he's already said he wants to stay with the Clippers. The Clippers have already said that they want to keep Ty Lue away from the Lakers. That they want to keep Ty Lue coaching their team. So that really puts us at four realistic options. Kenny Atkinson, Mike Budenholzer, Charles Lee, okay, who's with the Celtics right now, and J.J. Redick. Now, all of them come with their own pros and cons, their own pluses and minuses. From my understanding, the interview will matter a lot more for J.J. Redick than anybody else. The interview will matter for Charles Lee. For Mike Budenholzer and Kenny Atkinson, two guys who have been head coaches before in the NBA, the interview won't matter as much, right? There's plenty of film on what a Mike Budenholzer team looks like. There's plenty of film on what a Kenny Atkinson team look, what his basketball philosophies are, all that. J.J. Redick, who knows? Who knows what J.J. Redick is as a coach? I don't think J.J. knows what J.J. is as a coach. He doesn't have coaching experience. So for him, the interview process is going to matter a lot more because he's got to explain, hey, this is what I want. This is how I envision things running. Charles Lee has been assistant in the league for a long time. So that's the other piece to this, right? Where there's levels to this. Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, we know what fundamentally their teams are going to look like, what some of their basketball philosophies are. Now, can those philosophies change over time? Absolutely. And we've certainly seen that. And the best coaches do that, right? Lifelong learners. It's similar to being a teacher. You are constantly trying to update your strategies, right? And what you do. So just because we know what Mike Budenholzer, we can look back and see, okay, Kenny Atkinson ran this like 5 years ago. Doesn't mean he's going to run the same stuff now, but we still have a general sense of what these guys are as coaches. Charles Lee, it's a different tier. This is kind of the Darvin Ham tier from the previous coaching search for the Lakers a couple of years ago. It's a different tier because Charles Lee has, at the very least, he's been an assistant in the NBA for a long time. So at the very least, he's been thinking about, he's been planning, he's been plotting, he's been dreaming. When I become a head coach, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. This is how I'm going to run things, right? That thought process has been going on in his head. The same thing applies to a lot of different situations. If you're in college and you are progressing towards any particular career, in your head, you're going to be thinking about, hey, when I am an engineer, when I'm doing this, when I'm a teacher, this is how I'm going to run my classroom. When I am managing my own business, this is the kind of business that I want. This is how I'm going to run things, right? You are envisioning that. Charles Lee has obviously been thinking about what things would look like if he were an NBA head coach for a while. Now, JJ Redick may have thought about that too, but his path has been very different. He was a player first. Okay? Then he gets involved with broadcasting, podcasting, all that sort of stuff. Has he been hyper-focused on coaching? No, I think it's fair to say. Now, my part of him have always wanted to be an NBA head coach? Sure, that's possible. And it's possible he's been having those thoughts about, hey, I would do things this way, and this way. And he's certainly a knowledgeable basketball mind. There's no question. But I also think there's a difference in terms of a guy who's been coming up with the plan, the career plan of someday I want to be an NBA head coach. That guy has been really planning out what that's going to look like. Now, that doesn't mean JJ Redick can't be a good head coach. No, does not at all. Just means you've got a little bit more, you've got to really figure out what is it that he would do as a coach. And he needs to know, this is how I would run things. And let's face it, there's a steep learning curve, and the Lakers may be the least forgiving head coach jobs in sports. Not in basketball, in sports. In sports, this might be the least forgiving head coach job. And there's some other ones we could throw out there, certainly, but that's a tough, I mean, if you don't know exactly what you want to do, if you don't know exactly how you're going to handle situations, and if you don't know how to adapt on the fly, because that is so much of coaching, that could be a big problem. So that all gets wrapped up in this conversation. Those are all issues that if JJ Redick is going to become the Lakers head coach, which, by the way, Mark Stein had a report over the weekend about how JJ Redick's candidacy is real. And part of that is because Jason Kidd and Ty Lue are expected to not actually be available. Kidd obviously is not. Ty Lue, we don't know about an extension just yet. But if JJ Redick is going to become a real candidate for this Lakers job, and he is because these other guys are kind of out of the running, you've got some hurdles to clear, right? You've got some boxes to check if you're the Lakers in that interview process. So that's where things are at currently. But again, Lue, we assume he's probably not available. Jason Kidd, we know he's not available. JJ Redick in this field, given that Coach Bud is kind of seen as Darvin Ham Sr., JJ Redick versus Charles Lee, Kenny Atkinson, and Coach Bud, knowing that Coach Bud has that kind of negative pulling him back a little bit, it's a really interesting field. And I can't wait to see how this goes. And again, other names may emerge as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about Anthony Davis. So in this whole coaching process, there's also been a pretty consistent buzz that, like, yes, what LeBron wants matters, right? That certainly matters. What LeBron wants, I think it's fair to say, look, I'm no expert on in terms of what's going on in LeBron's head, but if you look at body language, it seemed pretty clear that LeBron James lost interest in following what Darvin Ham wanted out there on the floor. And I think Ham lost the team when he benched D'Lo, when he benched Austin, when he went away from the consistency. Look, I'm not going to relitigate all that. We've gone over all that kind of stuff. The national media, I put a video out on Twitter, YouTube yesterday, youtube.com/LakersNation, about the national media and how they've lost their damn minds about the Lakers and firing Darvin Ham because they're looking, because they're so far back on everything. They're looking at things from so far away. All they see is the Lakers record under Darvin Ham. And they're like, oh, they're idiots for firing this coach. He's a great coach. Look at the record. He went to the Western Conference Finals, all of this nonsense. The reason why they're missing the point is because they're too far away from it. They don't see that he lost the locker room. They don't see what was going on with the substitutions. They don't see what was going on with the rotations, the mess. Look, no coach is perfect. Every coach is going to have issues. There's Miami Heat fans that complain about Eric Spoelstra for crying out loud. But it seemed pretty clear that LeBron wasn't interested in following Darvin Ham anymore. But it's not just, hey, hire whoever LeBron wants. That element is going to certainly be part of it because LeBron's got that player option. He can be a free agent. He's LeBron James, right? I mean, that's going to carry weight, certainly, in the organization. And that's not to say LeBron isn't to blame somewhat for what happened this past season. Anthony Davis, too. The players in general, right? LeBron did some great things this season, too. LeBron was, I mean, age 39. I can't complain about what LeBron did on the court. But I can't say everything is Darvin Ham's fault. And a new coach simply solves everything, because that's not the case. But I will say that trying to say none of it is Darvin Ham's fault is not accurate either. So when you're looking for a new head coach, you do have to focus in on finding somebody that LeBron will follow, that LeBron wants to follow. Is JJ Redick that guy? I don't know. But we may be overlooking how much say Anthony Davis is going to have, because I think the torch got passed this season. I think Anthony Davis was the guy on this Lakers team. There were games, there were moments where LeBron was the guy, but for the most part, this was Anthony Davis's team. Now, he's not as vocal of a leader as LeBron is. He might not even be as vocal of a leader as D'Angelo Russell is. I mean, D'Lo talked about that midseason, about how he noticed that a lot of people weren't speaking up. It was LeBron and everybody just kind of listening. And so D'Lo went, well, my voice can be heard too. And the absence there is Anthony, where's Anthony Davis's voice and all that. That's okay. That's just kind of who he is. He's just a quieter guy. That's fine. But the team is going to very much consider his opinion as well when they're looking at the head coach position and when they're looking at how this roster gets built out. So what AD wants, who AD wants, that's going to matter. Remember, it was AD who I think really kind of put the nail in the coffin for Darvin Ham when Anthony Davis said, we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. Like in the playoffs, AD says, we don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. I think that was it. I think that was the end for Darvin. I'm done. Game over. It's over. That's it. You can't be in the playoffs and not know what you're doing. Period. Right? So I think Anthony Davis was ultimately the guy who put an end to Darvin Ham's coaching tenure with that comment. And then Ham's response to it was awful. It was not the response he should have had in that moment. But Anthony Davis is going to have a say in this. One of the things that I'm curious about is how determined is AD to not play center? Because this is something that we've talked about a lot over the years. And if you go back and you look at how often Anthony Davis has played center, here's the numbers. With the Lakers, Anthony Davis in the 2019-2020 season, so the championship season, it was a 60-40 split. Anthony Davis was a power forward 60% of the time, and he was a center 40% of the time. You go to the often forgotten 2020-2021 season, that team was so good. That team was so good, and they don't get enough credit for being so good because Anthony Davis got injured in round one against the Phoenix Suns. Man, how different does life look right now? How different do the Lakers look right now if Anthony Davis did not get injured in round one against the Phoenix Suns? I firmly believe the Lakers would have gone to the NBA Finals had AD not got injured there. They would have gone back-to-back finals. The Suns had no answer for AD. That whole series swung when AD got injured. That changed the outcome of the series completely. Phoenix does not survive the Lakers if Anthony Davis is healthy. And remember, LeBron was pretty gimpy that series too. But that team kind of gets forgotten. But they were really good. AD, 91% of his time at power forward. 9%. 9% at center. Now, interestingly enough, in that 9%, the Lakers were a plus 17 in point differential in the minutes Anthony Davis played center. Small sample size, I suppose, coming in. Then you go to the next season, the disastrous season. This is the season that we don't remember because we have actively repressed it with alcohol, other substances, hypnosis, whatever it takes. This was the Russell Westbrook season, the first Russell Westbrook season. We have done everything we can to forget this season. The 2021-2022 season, Anthony Davis, 76% of his minutes at center, 24% at power forward. In terms of net rating, disastrous at both positions, but that whole team was a disaster, so it is what it is. After that, 2022, last season, 99% of his minutes at center. This season, 100% of his minutes at center. This is via cleaning the glass. So Anthony Davis, the last time he spent most of his minutes at power forward was the 2020-2021 season. We all go back to that 2019-2020 magical season, with the exception of course, COVID hitting and Kobe and all the terrible things that happened that season, the championship season, 60-40 split. And so I have a lot of people who tell me, well, Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center. The Lakers need to put him back to power forward. The problem is you go look at that 2020-2021 season when he spent 91% of his minutes at power forward. What was it that allowed him to do that? Well, Marc Gasol was playing center, and Marc Gasol shoots the three. Now, he was a bit more of a reluctant shooter than I wanted him to be, but Gasol shoot, he was a credible threat to shoot the three. And that season, that was the season that Frank Vogel went to Anthony Davis and said, I want you shooting, I mean, publicly said, I want you taking more threes than ever before. His threes went down. In fact, this season was the first season in 5 years that Anthony Davis's three-point attempts have not dropped. He shot 1.3 threes per game last season. He shot 1.4 this season. The previous 4 years, his threes have dropped steadily. In the championship season, 3.5 per game. The next season, 2.8, then 1.8, then 1.3, and his three-point percentage has continued to drop until it went into an uptick these last 2 years. So 19% in the 21-22 season, 2021-2022, 26% in 22-23, 27% this last season here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's the problem, right? People look at the 1920 season, the championship season, they say, well, clearly, look, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, clearly Anthony Davis should be a power forward. We forget that he actually spent a lot of minutes at center that season. They just started JaVale and started Dwight with AD, depending on the matchup and all of that. The Lakers also closed with Anthony Davis at the five. But that was also an Anthony Davis that shot 33% from three. Once his three-point shot started to abandon him, the attempts started going down, and that makes it that much more difficult without, say, a Marc Gasol, a three-point shooting big, to put Anthony Davis at the four. Like, if you put AD on the floor right now, shooting, I mean, let's say he's shooting 26% from three, you put him on the floor with Andre Drummond, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to pack the paint against the Lakers. That's all that's going to happen. So a lot of people are saying Anthony Davis needs to play the five or needs to play the four, and that's the key to revitalizing the Lakers. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's accurate. I think that what the Lakers need is the flexibility to play Anthony Davis at the four in the right matchups. I've got people telling me, a lot of Lakers fans telling me, Anthony Davis has to, you need a starting center, a true big physical starting center that's going to put Anthony Davis to power forward the vast majority of the time. That's what you need. And I don't agree. I don't agree. Because here's the problem. Here's the issue with that. Anthony Davis, if this is now AD's team, this is his team. Anthony Davis, part of his superpower, what made him great, it's not just his defense. It's not just what he does on the offensive end. It's his versatility. It's the ability to play the four or the five. It's the ability to play either position. The Lakers have largely punted on that ability the last couple of seasons. So what they need is not, let's say they could go get a true, big, physical center that's going to demand most of it. Let's the name that pops in my head, Yusuf Nurkic. Obviously, the Suns aren't getting rid of him, but let's say you could get Yusuf Nurkic. You're not going to get Yusuf Nurkic to bring him off the bench. He's too good for that. So you would start him. He would play 25-plus minutes at the center spot, and that's going to move Anthony Davis primarily to power forward. Problem is the three-point shooting, right, becomes an issue there. Is that really what you need? AD spending almost all of his minutes at the four? No, because what that's going to do is that's going to force you to play Anthony Davis at that position, right? Because Nurkic is going to be one of your better players on the team. You're going to need him out there on the floor. That's going to push Anthony Davis to the four. What you need is the option to play Anthony Davis at the four when the matchup calls for it. There's going to be some matchups where the answer is Anthony Davis at the five. The problem is you don't want to go into a matchup where the answer is Anthony Davis at the five, but we're paying this dude over here who's 7 feet 270, we're paying him $20 million a season, so he's got to play because he's one of our best players. It's not the best for the matchup, but he's got to play. And then Anthony Davis is the power forward, and you're not ideally situated. That's not what you want. That is not what you want. What you want is the flexibility. That's what the title team had. The title team didn't win a title because they moved Anthony Davis to the four. The title team won a title because they were so damn versatile. They could respond to anything that an opponent threw at them. That's what the secret sauce was for that championship team. Hey, Houston, you want to play small? Cool. Here's Markieff Morris, who's going to join AD on the floor, and he's going to stretch the floor and be able to shoot the three, and we're still going to beat the hell out of you in the paint. All right, you want to go big, Portland? Here's JaVale McGee. Denver, you want to go big? All right, we're going to throw Dwight Howard at Jokic and see what happens. Right? Like that, it was that versatility. Miami, you're going to really pester us on the perimeter. Guess what? Alex Caruso is a starter now. Here you go. Game six. We're going to blow you out. It was that versatility that was the secret sauce for that team. So what the Lakers really need, and I firmly believe you cannot exit this summer without having a true physical big, but I would contend that if Anthony Davis is the guy on this team now, and the main concern is what is best for AD, what is best for AD is not to slot him at the four next to a big physical center. He just doesn't shoot the three enough to give you the floor spacing that you need. What you need, though, is a big physical center that can be part of your rotation. not a starter, part of your rotation. Not a night in, night out. We have to start this guy because we paid him X amount of money because this is how good he is. You need a guy that can be part of your rotation. So who is that? Well, it's not an Isaiah Hartenstein. He's going to make too much money. And I love Isaiah Hartenstein. Is it a Jonas Valanciunas? Maybe. And again, the Lakers, I'm not expecting them to have much in terms of spending power out there on the market. So maybe we shouldn't even be talking free agents. It should be trade targets. But you have to find somebody that gives you the option to move AD at the four, but somebody who isn't going to get their feelings hurt, who isn't going to be offended, whose pride is not going to be bruised if they do see the better matchup for that particular opponent be Anthony Davis at the five. That's the key. It's having the versatility with Anthony Davis. But again, it does appear that AD has taken over as the guy on this team, and that's going to matter in the coaching search. I also think it's going to matter for this roster build. Okay, let's get into the mailbag here. Mailbag. Buy him, throw the confetti, and get the turkey out. This was coming in the wake of Darvin Ham's firing, by the way. Luke said, what if Vogel's let go? A Vogel reunion? I don't think so. You know, one of Darvin's problems was he lost the locker room. Frank Vogel did the same thing. He also lost the locker room at one point. And we heard some similar things in Phoenix. So, and by the way, I think Frank Vogel is a very good defensive coach. I thought he did well with that Lakers team that won the championship was perfectly set up to take advantage of his coaching skill set. But I don't think Vogel's the guy that's going to get through to this team and is going to keep them bought in. You know, all the complaints, all the criticism that players just don't want to be coached anymore. That was the Kendrick Perkins point over the weekend. I mean, there is something like the coach has to be able to get the players to buy in. As soon as you lose that, that's it. It's done. You have to have that buy-in from the players. That said, Perkins was using that as his argument for why it was none of what happened to the Lakers was Darvin Ham's fault. And it was all on the players, which, again, I explained over on the YouTube channel why he is laughably, hilariously wrong about that. But Miguel Zambrano said, I like Terry Stotts for the simple fact that he's a proven history of playing two bigs together in the post. And that's fine. His name hasn't popped up yet. Maybe it will. I don't know where he's at. Like, what does he want to do? Obviously, he was an assistant under Adrian Griffin last year that didn't even make it to the season. That relationship blew up before the season even started. So, yeah, I don't know where his head's at in terms of the coaching situation. Esham, hiring LeBron's minion J.J. Redick to coach is a mistake. It might be. I mean, you look at the recent history of players with no coaching experience going and becoming coaches. It's not great. It's not great. Steve Kerr obviously is an exception. I don't recall if Steve Kerr had some experience as an assistant or not, but obviously he was the GM of the Suns for a little bit, plenty of broadcast experience. But you look at, you know, Derek Fisher, that obviously didn't work out. Steve Nash, that didn't work out. I'll be surprised if it's J.J. Redick, because I think the Lakers have an understanding that this is a really tough job and you're almost setting somebody up to fail if you put them in. Like, you have to be convinced that this is the dude that can overcome all of these obstacles that present themselves to somebody who has no head coaching experience. By the way, I also want to say this. Get it right, Lakers. Whoever it is, get it right. You have to get it right. You have to. You look at the turnover of the Lakers head coaching position for over the last decade, and it's alarming. It's concerning. You have to get this right. And I know the Lakers understand there's a benefit to having the stability of a longtime head coach. There's a real benefit to that. And the Lakers, they have not been able to find that. Since Phil Jackson, they haven't been able to find it. It's been one guy after another after another. It's just been this revolving door of guys that haven't quite been the right fit. And part of that is the nature of the beast. Part of that is the nature of the head coaching position with the Los Angeles Lakers. It's, again, a heavily scrutinized position because, hey, much to the dismay of Darvin Ham, we live and die with every game. We do, Lakers Nation. That's just that. That's a fact. We live and die with every game. It's part of what makes the organization great. It's part of what makes the fan base great. But it's also a challenge. It's a real challenge for coaches in that position. I'll tell you this. If I was the Lakers head coach, I am deleting all my social media accounts immediately. I am not reading anything about my job performance on social media because, my goodness, the roller coaster you'd be on. I wonder if Darvin was, by the way he was like responding to things makes me think maybe he got a little wrapped up in kind of what the conversation, and you can't do that if you're the head coach. But the Lakers have to get it right. They have to put a stop to this cycle of a coach lasts a couple of seasons and then they fire him and they move on. They got to put a stop to that. They have to find the guy. I just hope the guy is out there. Because I'll be honest, every candidate right now that I look at has some serious drawbacks. Has some serious drawbacks. Every candidate. Mike Budenholzer, Darvin Ham Sr., right? Similar schemes. Kenny Atkinson, is he that good of a head coach to begin with? Why wouldn't he have just kept his job in Brooklyn? You know, I mean, I thought he did some good things there, but is he really that kind of next level head coach? Charles Lee, well, he's got that Boston stink on him. I mean, Frank Vogel came from a Boston tree too, and I'm partially just taking a shot at the Celtics there, but is he, we haven't seen him as a head coach. What does that look like? JJ Redick. I mean, like literally, what was it, 2 months ago probably? Was anybody talking about J.J. Redick being a head coach? Like, seriously talking about him being a head coach? Probably not. There's a lot of question marks with the group that's available to the Lakers. Any chance the Blazers trade Rob, Will, or Grant? Robert Williams, you know, obviously recovering from an injury. He would be an incredible combo with Anthony Davis defensively. Obviously, you have the concerns in terms of the floor spacing, also major injury concerns. Jeremy Grant, if you're going to go all in for somebody, which I think they would have to get Jeremy Grant, maybe not to definitely not to the same degree that you'd have to go all in to get Donovan Mitchell or even to get a Trae Young or somebody like that. But Jeremy Grant is older, he's in his 30s already, massive contract. Like, if you're going to surrender the assets that you need to get this player, whoever this third star is going to be, this is your shot. This is you get one chance at it, right? So you have to be convinced, if you're going to pay the price that it's going to take, you got to be convinced that this is the guy now and in the future. I don't know if that can be said of Jeremy Grant. He's a great player. If you could get him for assets that are not long-term, big time, these are the best assets we've got type things. If you can get him for 50 cents on the dollar or whatever because it was a big contract, okay, I'm more open to it. But I think the other thing we have to keep in mind is that it's like a source of pride for the Blazers that they've never traded with the Lakers, like in their history, never traded with the Lakers. So I'm not going to predict that the Blazers, again, we tend to, from the Lakers' viewpoint, we look at teams like the Blazers and we're like, oh, yeah, it's the Blazers. Whatever, we'll trade with them. The Blazers look at, if they see Lakers on their call ID, I mean, the blood starts boiling, right? Like, the Blazers, their fans, they hate the Lakers with a passion. They see the Lakers as, like, their big rival, which is not true. Going the other way, like, I don't really care about the Blazers or the Kings or even the Warriors to a degree, right? I mean, can Warriors fans be annoying? Yeah. But do I see the Warriors as some big rival of the Lakers? No, not really. It's the Clippers and the Celtics, and that's it. And the Clippers, just because they're a hometown annoyance that just will never leave. And the Celtics, because it's the Celtics, right? I mean, that's it. Are the Suns like some crazy rival? No. The Nuggets, even though they've beat the Lakers last couple of years, I don't look at the Nuggets like I would be super. If it was Nuggets Celtics in the finals, give me a Nugget, give me a Jamal Murray jersey. I'm putting that thing on. It's not even close. Not close. So you've got these teams out there that see the Lakers as like, oh, this is our major enemy, you know? And that was the whole thing with Denver, right? You had what Denver media that was putting out, you know, the decades long rivalry with the Lakers or whatever. And we're like, what are we talking about? What rivalry? What? The way it is. It's the way it is with the Lakers. And so the Blazers, I think, when we're looking at would they trade Jeremy Grant, would they throw Malcolm Brogdon in the mix too? They're probably going to want to trade to anybody other than the Lakers initially. Teddy said, can we afford/do we want Jonas Valanciunas? It depends on the price. Like if the Lakers had, I don't know if they will, but if they have a taxpayer MLE, which is going to be like $5 million, and Jonas was interested, I'm down. I mean, he's a guy that I've respected. He's been a favorite of mine for a long time. I probably have an outsized view. I probably overrate Jonas Valanciunas. I'll be honest. I probably overrate him. There's something nostalgic. There's something that I appreciate about the throwback type center that just bruises people in the paint. I think at this stage, and we saw it with the Pelicans pulled him in like 3 minutes against the Lakers because the Lakers played him off the floor. I think now he is a matchup dependent guy. I think that's what he is in the NBA now. You can't play him every single night. So if you're going to pay him an MLE, like $12 million, $13 million, that's that you're saying I'm going to play him every single night. That's what the money says. And I don't think he can be that. If he gets that from another team, great. If I'm the Lakers and I can get him for a taxpayer MLE, which I'm not even sure the Lakers are going to have, okay, that kind of money says he may not be an every night player. He might play 10 minutes. Other nights he's going to play 25. It depends on what the matchup dictates. That I'm fine with. I'd be fine with that. And I think he'd be just a big physical.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Buffer for Anthony Davis, right? He's a guy that can absorb the contact, the physical punishment of some of the other bigs in the NBA that are going to really try to go at a guy like Anthony Davis and try to put a hurt on him. So I'd have no problem with that. But the money is what I'd be concerned about. And a two-star team with great depth versus a three-star team with shaky depth. We've talked a lot about that. I think so much of it depends on who is the third star in that situation. Who is it that's the third star? All right. Wicked Bronco said, if you're the Lakers, you must right the wrong and do whatever it takes to get Ty Lue. In my opinion, the roster isn't the issue. The coaching is. If you had Ty Lue, you're up 3-2 on Denver. I kind of agree with that. Like, how much of the Denver series was Mike Malone outmaneuvered Darvin Ham? I think a decent part of it. I think you can make the, especially given how close the games were anyway. Would the Lakers have been up 3-2 against Denver? Maybe. Maybe. At the very least, they're down 3-2. Right? At the very least. They're not losing 4-1. They're going to game six. Let Prince and Cam walk. Resign Max Christie. So here's the problem. Darvin's gone. Prince is Darvin's guy. Have to imagine Darvin Ham being the coach is part of the reason why Torian Prince came to LA to begin with. So what do you do if you're Torian Prince? I would have no problem with the Lakers keeping Torian. As a reserve wing, great. No issues. And that price tag, yes. Sign me up. No problem with that. $4.5 million, please. He was just fine. It wasn't his fault. Darvin put him into a starting spot and asked him to be a point of attack defender and do things that were just outside of his wheelhouse. Torian Prince on his contract in a reserve role, 30 teams should be happy to have him in that situation. The question is, with a new coach, does Torian feel as comfortable coming back? Or does he, if Darvin Ham's no longer the coach, does he say, well, I've got a bunch of teams that would pay me this money. And do I want to look elsewhere? And we'll see. The other thing, when it comes to, you know, letting go of Cam Reddish, say, he is a player option. He gets to decide if he's under contract with the Lakers next year or not. Same thing with Christian Wood, same thing with Jackson Hayes. So just like we're going to be waiting for LeBron's decision with his player option, D'Angelo Russell's decision with his player option, we also need to wait for Christian Wood, Cam Reddish, Jackson Hayes. Now, their minimums, I don't have a problem if they pick up that option because they're minimums. Who cares, right? Like if you get Christian Wood on a minimum, great. I know, did it work out perfectly this year? No, but he's probably more talented than most minimum players are. So no problem with him sticking around. You still have to get another big, but no problem with that. Jackson Hayes, I think he did enough good things. Sure, hang on to him. You can always throw them into a trade at some point. They're on minimum deals. Cam Reddish, though, is the guy where, of those three, I think Christian Wood, on a minimum, he could get a minimum somewhere else. I think he could. He may not have 29 other teams lining up to give him that, but he could get that deal somewhere else. I think Jackson Hayes did enough this year to where he could get that deal somewhere else if he wants. I don't know about Cam. He spent so much of the season injured. I don't know if that minimum exists somewhere else for Cam Reddish or not. Maybe it does, but I would have to imagine it's not. The number of teams that would be willing to give him that minimum, it's not in the double digits. So I wonder if Cam picks up the minimum, even though he's a Darvin Ham guy, simply because he doesn't have another option. That's going to be something I'll be keeping an eye on this summer. Antum said, we definitely need to make a few moves, but with a halfway competitive coach or competent coach, this team is much better. Mark Jackson, Ty Lue, I like JJ, but he hasn't even been an assistant in coaching. Interview JJ, but he's a no, in my opinion. Like, it's fair. If you, again, for the interview matters more for JJ Redick than anyone else. And by the way, absolutely interview him 100%. It doesn't hurt you at all to interview. Who knows? Maybe he blows you away and you go, oh my gosh, this guy is next level. This guy's got it. All of our concerns are completely evaporated, and this needs to be the guy. Maybe. Is that likely? No. But you're not going to know unless you interview him. Definitely interview him, right? Find out. But the interview matters more for him than anyone else by a lot, because he has to alleviate all those concerns, and that's not going to be easy to do. All right, Lakers Nation. We do have the live show coming up tonight. Again, 8 o'clock Pacific time. Come join us. We'll talk more about the coaching search. We'll talk more about whatever news breaks over the course of the day. We'll talk about the Lakers roster build, all that kind of stuff coming up live tonight on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/Lakers Nation. Had a great time yesterday on the members only live on the YouTube channel. If you guys are not a channel member yet, check that out. Click the join button over the YouTube channel. You can see the perks that members get on channel. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining me. Till next time, see ya, and stay safe.